all agree that this is a beautiful melody, set in the beautiful harmonies of composer Erik Satie. But exactly why is it beautiful? That's a more difficult proposition to agree on. What is beauty? We're asking that concise but anything but simple question this week. What is beauty? We gave you some parameters. Beauty in 6 words.
Living an honest, peaceful, and joyful life.
Oops, 7 words there.
The feeling of timelessness surrounding me.
My goddaughter's smile greeting the day.
Nature's amazing systems working together harmoniously.
It makes my heart beat faster.
The ancient Greeks wrote a lot more than 6 words about beauty. The Greeks built a huge body of thought on the connection between beauty and sexuality, beauty and class, beauty and metaphysics. David Constan, author of Beauty, The Fortunes of an Ancient Greek Idea, says we owe our healthy and unhealthy notions of beauty in many cases to the artists and geniuses of Athens.
The word for beauty is kalos. It's the same root that we have in calisthenics and kaleidoscope. There was a very similar word that people didn't pay attention to just because it was so similar. It was by paying attention to that other word that I could see the specific notion of Greek beauty. The word that was most general was kalos, and the word that was more specific was kalos. You could see the difference in the accent, and one has only one L and one has two L's. In principle, the same root and very similar, but I had an intuition that the two had different ranges of meaning, and it was on investigating thousands of passages that I came finally to see that looking at the kalos would really tell us something about the specific sense of Greek beauty.
So you tell a woman she's kalos, it's like, fine. But if you really want to make an impression, it's kalos.
Kalos, absolutely, that she has or possesses kalos. I'll give you an example. When God created the world, he looked at the world and he said, it is good. In Greek, that's translated as the adjective kalos. God didn't mean it's beautiful. He meant it's a fine piece of work.
Not bad.
Not bad. Excellent. In Latin, it's translated as bonum, which is the Latin word for good, by St. Jerome in his Bible. Whereas kalos does, interestingly enough, have a corresponding word in Hebrew that also refers very specifically to physical attractiveness as opposed to things being good in general.
And is this a deep notion of beauty in the sense that it's a superficial kind of visual impression that we get?
Two questions always come up about beauty. One is, what kinds of things do people think are beautiful? Tall people or short people, heavy people or thin people? And we've seen those changes mm-hmm. over the centuries. The other is, what does beauty do? That is, what is its effect? Does it make us admire something or does it make us attracted to something? The argument of my book was that beauty, as it was understood among the Greeks, put the emphasis on attractiveness, the emphasis on desire. And I'll give an example that makes this clear. As we know, there was what we call Greek love, was pederastic in the sense that it was usually an older person who felt a passion for a younger boy, a pubescent boy. And when you see the attribution, the ascription of beauty, it's rarely ascribed to adult males, but very commonly ascribed either to women or to boys. So that distribution of the terminology tells us something about how the Greeks understood beauty. If you've got a hero like a Heman, like Hercules, you don't want to say he's pretty.
We think of celebrities as superficial, but it sounds like the celebrity notion of beauty is closer to the classical notion of beauty in the ancient Greeks than anything we might find, you know, on a painting.
I would agree, although you can have paintings and statues, as the Greeks themselves knew very well, that represent very beautiful people, so beautiful that we have stories of people who were sexually attracted to statues. That's a very curious thing. even attempted copulating with statues.
Great.
We have a technical name for it in modern psychotherapy. It's called agalmatophilia, and you're in love with a statue.
Museum guards have to worry about that.
They certainly did. One case in particular became very famous in antiquity.
You don't have to go into
that. I don't need to go into details. As far as standards of beauty, what is curious is the degree to which today, if we look at an ancient Greek statue of a god or a goddess, they seem to fit our standards of beauty. We don't have to argue that the Venus of the Milo or another one is beautiful, whereas there are periods and cultures, even medieval painting in our West, where we don't necessarily respond that way. We wouldn't say seeing a celebrity who looked just like that medieval icon would make us think of beauty in the first place.
Looking at the way Greek beauty made its way outside of Greece, how did that work?
Well, here we move over from what the effect of beauty is to inspire desire to what it is that makes something beautiful. Why does this inspire desire rather than the other thing? And the Greeks thought about it as they thought about so many things. And one of the answers they came up with was symmetry, symmetry and proportion. We have fragments, but fairly substantial fragments, of a work called The Canon by a sculptor who wrote a little manual and then also prepared a statue that would illustrate it. And the detail is remarkable. The hand should be such and such mathematical proportion of the forearm of the whole arm. The size of the head should be 1/7 the size of the entire body. And so they were very precise mathematical descriptions of proportion and symmetry. And these are recovered in the Renaissance and are part of the reason why our conception of what is a beautiful person is so similar to the Greeks.
Is there something about those proportions that have a sort of psychological meaning in the sense that our minds are cued into those proportions, or are we simply accustomed to them because we've seen them so much and the Greeks might have picked some other ratios maybe and we would be feeling the same way about those?
I'm inclined to think that these are cultural artifacts, but there are arguments that would suggest that attractiveness in this regard has a biological function. So we are taking, for example, measurements of women at the age when reproduction is most possible, also signs of health. There's one curious book called The Survival of the Prettiest, as opposed to The Survival of the Fittest, which places a lot of emphasis on the evolutionary aspect, and that would be transcultural. I myself have been looking at how beauty is described and the uses to which it is put in different societies, and that's more specifically culturally influenced.
All right. David Constant, that's great. That's fascinating stuff. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, John.
David Constant is a classicist and author of Beauty, The Fortunes of an Ancient Greek Idea. And what does beauty mean to you? Tell us in words, 6, or share a photo by tweeting us at The Takeaway with the hashtag MyBeautyIs. That's our show today. More on beauty all this week on The Beautiful Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.